Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3, verse 22. Something very nice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you have melodies in your heart? Yes. He says, have melodies in your heart. That means you should always be singing to the Lord in your heart. It's an instruction. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 1 John 3 verse 22. If you're there, say, I'm there.
Amen.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. I'm waiting for someone. Verse 22. I read it. He says, and whatsoever we ask. I like that. He says, whatsoever. That means name it. Are you in this place? Name it. Whatsoever. Only God can talk like this. Only God. Says, and whatsoever we ask, that means things that are in existence, things that are not in existence. He says, whatsoever. Whatsoever we ask. So he expects you to ask. Are you in this place? Are you with me? Whatsoever we ask, we what? Receive of him. He's not a stingy God. He says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That means he'll give it to you. You receive it. But it doesn't stop there. It says, because. So there's a reason. There's a reason why whatever we ask, we receive of him. There's a reason. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his what? Commandments. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, there's no difference between the two. If you're keeping his commandments, it means you are doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you understand? So it's not like, oh, he has commandments, and then there are some things that are pleasing in his sight. No, if you keep his commandments, it means you're doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, when you see this, you begin to think of the 10 commandments. Are you in this place? So you think, I have not killed anybody. I have not stolen. Do you understand? That's what you think. Let me read again, then I'll show you what the commandments are. 22. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Anything you ask, he's going to give it to you. Anything. Anything. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. He says, so this is our confidence. As long as we are keeping his commandments, whatever we want, he'll give it to us. What confidence. So I have a part to play. Are you seeing it? I have a part to play. It's not just on God. I think that's a popular phrase, on God. All right. But I have a part to play. He says, I should keep his commandments. But then he tells us what the commandments are. So that's good news. Verse 23. Are you in this place? I think you would want to know what the commandments are. So you can judge if you're keeping it or not. So in case you're not keeping it, you begin to keep it. Do you understand? And you want to be sure you're keeping the right thing. So let's look at it. Verse 23. He says, and this is his commandment. So he's not going to leave you to guess. He doesn't want you guessing. Are you in this place? I told you guys before, don't think for God. Don't try to use your brain to understand how God is. He has shown you how he is in his word. Don't try to use your brain to understand what God wants. You say, I reason I'm saying, and so God will be like, no. That's why he gave you his word. So he doesn't leave you to guess. No, he tells you what his commandment. Look at the 13. He's very emphatic. He says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Full stop. Isn't that simple? Have you seen that before? He says, this is his commandment. It's not plenty. It's just two. Thank God it's just two. Are you in this place? Thank God, just two. It's not 10 anymore or 200. It's just 2. He says, believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, hold on. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians. For you to be a Christian, it means you should have believed in Jesus. Are you in this place? For you to say, I'm a Christian. Come on. Christian, Christ, you're taking someone's name. That means you must have believed in Jesus. So why is he commanding you again to believe on the name of his son? It's very simple. Because when some people pray in the name of Jesus, they don't believe. Now look at it. If you want something from God, you ask in the name of Jesus. He says if you believe in that name, whatever you ask, you get it. So look at it. God's emphasis is not much. He says when you ask for something in the name of Jesus, believe that name. Believe the name. If I ask for something in Henry's name, the question would be, what can Henry do? Do you understand? If Henry was the owner of a car lot, that means they are selling cars there, and I go and I say, I want Mercedes-Benz. And they say, who sent you? I say, Henry. And I show them signature. They'll give it to me. Why? Why did I have the boldness to go and say, I want that Benz? Because I know I have a name. I have the name of the owner supporting me. Do you understand? But if Henry is in charge of cars, but he doesn't own private jets, and then I say, oh, I use the name of Henry for cars. Let me go and buy private jets. And so I go. And they say, what do you want? I say, I want these jets. Who sent you? Henry. Where would I land? Prison. Or somewhere else. Why? Because Henry's authority is limited to the car. Do you understand? He doesn't have the authority for the private jet. So I can use his name for the car, but I can't use his name for what? Private jets. But there is a name that is greater than every other name. The name of Jesus. That confidence that I would have had to go and look for the car in Henry's name. God says, have that confidence when you ask in Jesus' name. That name can give you everything. So when you're asking, God is checking. You know, are you in this place? When he says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. You think when I go and ask God, Father, I want a car. He'll start checking. Did she kill? Did she lie? Did she, she lied. Don't give it to her. Are you in this place? But now we know those are not the commandments. The commandment is believe in the name. So when you come and ask God, Lord, I want a house in the name of Jesus. He's checking. Do you really believe in that name? Do you believe in that name? Do you think that name can give you the house? He says, once you believe, anything you want, you will get. Anything you want. The people just say, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. It's what they used to end prayer. Do you understand? No. There was once I was explaining to you guys that the name of Jesus is like a seal. Do you understand? It's a signature. Praise the Lord. Anybody can write 1 million check to myself from Dangote. When you find out that his bank is Zenith. Anybody can take a checkbook and write what they want to write. But that check will not be valid if his signature is not there. So you need the signature for the check to be valid. Are you in this place? Are you in this place? The name of Jesus is like that signature. You can say what you want. It's an open check. He says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. He says, but believe in the name. That means when I ask, I require this in the name of Jesus. That's the signature. Everything would have to respond. Nobody argues with signature. Are you in this place? Nobody. He says, and this is commandment twofold. Number one, he says that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Say, I believe. On the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, believe. Listen, let me tell you something. That's what Spirit of God wants you to remember. Take a hold of this Sunday. believe in the name. Some of you are praying, you are praying, you are praying, but you really don't believe in the name. So when you're done praying, looking for other options, no, believe in the name. Believe. Believe that once you say in the name of Jesus, something is happening. Immediately you mention that name, forces are set in motion. He says it's a commandment. Hello? Commandment is not suggestion. Are you in this place? God says, if you want to come to ask me for anything, I'm commanding you, you must believe the name. That's why I have people who say we all serve God in different ways, in different names. They are joking. God commands anybody that wants to come and ask him for anything to believe in the name. You must believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You must believe. If you believe, after you're done asking, it will show. Are you in this place? It will show. The Bible says Peter and John met the man at the gate called Beautiful. Could not walk. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man was still sitting. Then Peter did what? Dragged him up. Why? Because he believed in the name. He believed that as I mentioned that name, something would have happened. And when he lifted him, the Bible says his ankles received strength. What a name. What a name. Think about it. What a name. What surgeons could not do, that name did. What a name. He says, believe that. And let me tell you something. Throughout the New Testament section of the Bible, God keeps trying to prove to you that there is nothing that is impossible with that name. Absolutely nothing. Then he didn't stop there. He says, believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Just those two. You know, the Bible says in the book of James that you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Are you with me? He says the reason why most people don't receive because they ask amiss. They ask to consume it upon their lusts. That means they are asking for selfish reason. At times they are asking to hurt others. At times they are asking because they are comparing themselves with others. So the guy has a Corolla, but he's asking God for a Range Rover. Why? Because his neighbor just bought a Venza. He says, you're asking amiss. God says, don't come to me and ask for that. He's telling you how to approach him when you want to ask. He says, if you want to ask for something, as you're coming, believe in the name of Jesus. So when you say, Father, this is what I want, in Jesus' name, he says, ensure you believe it. It's a commandment. It's not a joke. It's a commandment. When people are traveling and you say, the name of Jesus, we are protected. He says, ensure you believe that name. Then you get what you want. Then he says, and love one another. So if you're coming to God because you want to compare yourself with someone else, he says, nah, you're not going to get it. You're not. Free yourself from comparison, from selfishness. Are you in this place? Free yourself from the idea that I want God to give me this so that I'll prove to others that God is with me. You don't need to prove to others anything. Let me tell you something. Even if you do something that is right, someone that doesn't want to be convinced will not be convinced. Are you in this place? Do you know Jesus walked on this earth and some people killed him? They could not be convinced. Do you know? You know, while he was on the cross, are you in this place? You're ready for my gist. While he was on the cross, the Bible says, these evil Pharisees said, come down from the cross so that we'll believe that you are Jesus. That's what they said. Have you read in your Bible before? Say, come down. If you come down, we'll believe. Guess what? After 3 days, Jesus resurrected. It was not a quiet resurrection. It's not like they pushed the stone and just say, psst, psst, shh. Then Hollywood soundtrack. No, it's not like Paul that ran away in a basket. It was a noisy resurrection. The Bible says the soldiers were there and there was an earthquake. Just in case, to show that something is happening in this place, there was an earthquake. Not just that, an angel... An angel descended from heaven, rolled the stone away, sat down there just in time for them to look that something's about to happen. It was a noisy resurrection. The Bible says the soldiers fell like dead men. They fainted. Guess what? After they got up from their fainting, they went to report to those guys that said if he came down from the cross, we'll believe him. When they went to report that he has actually resurrected, guess what? These unrepentant people said, they gave them money. They bribed them. They said, don't tell anybody. Hold on. If you killed someone, and someone told you that they saw the person you killed, you know you killed that person in the market buying bread, what should your response be? Oto, it's finished. Do you understand? You go and beg the person. No, like Herod. Herod killed John the Baptist. Then he heard there was a man going around working miracles. And the Bible says, Herod said, it is John. It's him. He's the one doing, he has resurrected. That's why he can work miracles. And the Bible says, Herod sought to see Jesus. At least his conscience did something to him. But not these Pharisees. When the soldiers came and said, he resurrected. They gave them money. They bribed them. They said, don't tell anybody. And if it comes to Pilate's ear, we would help you cover it. Meaning that even after he resurrected, they were not convinced. In fact, if they could kill him after he resurrected, they would do it. No, but I'm serious. The Bible says in John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. In John 12, because people heard of the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, they started following Jesus. The Bible says in John 12, the chief priests were now plotting to kill Lazarus again. Evil people. The guy has died once, want to kill him again. Why? Because of him, people were going to Jesus. So if they had seen Jesus as he resurrected, I assure you, they would have tried. My point is, you don't compare yourself with others, because people that will not be convinced will not be convinced. When Jesus resurrected, you would think that he should show himself to the Pharisees and say, Shebi, you tried to kill me. I'm back. You would think he should show himself to Pilate and say, is it not you that you were telling me the other time? That's not what he did. No, naturally, that is what he should have done to prove to them that they were wrong and he was right. But he was not obligated to do that. Instead, he showed himself to those that had always believed. Always believed. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if he did not bother trying to prove to unbelievers that he had resurrected, why should you? So he says, when you come to ask, don't come and say, Lord, please help me so that my enemies will not shame me. Leave your enemies alone. Do you understand? Your relationship with God is not based on someone else. What they think or what they don't think. He says, when you come, believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and do what? Love. Love. Praise the Lord. Say, I believe in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Say, in the name of Jesus, health is mine. And it is yours. In the name of Jesus, wisdom is mine. For this week, wisdom is mine. So every day you know what to do. You know who to call in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you see, the name of Jesus is not something we use to end prayer. You know, if you pray and you say amen, you say, didn't put the name of Jesus. No, that's not what you use to end prayer. It's a commandment that you believe on the name because it works. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say glory. Glory. Have you learned something? One other thing. Last week, we started talking about the message for the year. And we started the topic, Fast Ahead. And I gave some instructions last week through the Spirit of God. Do you remember? The first one was what? Don't compare yourself with others. Oh, it's something you have to train yourself to do. I was telling some folks yesterday that if there's someone that anytime you see the person's status update, you get sad, stop looking at the updates. Stop seeing the status. Block that person in love for your sake. Are you in this place? For your sake. So the person says, I noticed you blocked me. Say, I'm going through some stuff. But for your sake, it is better to do that than to stay there. This person see now until you become monitoring spirit and you don't even know. So don't compare yourself with others. Paul said those that compare themselves with others, they are not wise. And it's true. Why? Because you were not born into the world at the same time. Okay, you say the same time. Not through the same womb, for sure. Somebody must have come out first, even if you're twins. And you don't plan to die at the same time. Now you say the guy is so fast. He's accomplishing things so fast. So do you plan to die when he's about to die? If he's 22 and he has done so much, and you're 27, what if he plans to die 25? That's why he's doing so much. Do you plan to die then? No! You see, for the good part, you don't want to compare yourself. So don't compare yourself at all. Praise the Lord. What number two instruction? Don't be distracted. Remove distractions. Are you in this place? Remove distractions. A friend is a distraction, block them. Those ones, they ask you, why did you block me? Say, you're a distraction. You're a distraction. Then they, when you're forward like that, they will change. Are you in this place? When you try to do, no, block them. Say, I notice you block me, say, you're a distraction. Anytime we talk, we are gossiping people. No, there are people like that. You try to, you know, every time they come to meet you, they're always gossiping, always slandering someone. And you too, you are tired. You know it's not good. You know what they are doing to another person, they are doing to you too. But you don't know how to tell them you don't want again. At times you say, all right, come. We'll eat. As you're eating, they are gossiping. They say, okay, let us watch movie. Through the movie, they saw something that reminded them of the other person they want to gossip about. So you're stuck. Let me tell you what to do. You have tried the nice way, it's not working. Or you have tried the real way. Next time you say, I'm coming, you say, no, anytime we'll gossip. I don't want to gossip anymore. You say, are you calling me a gossiper? Yes. You know what? They will change. And you would have helped them and helped yourself. So, no distractions. No distractions. And I said last week that there are some things that you do that causes your prayer participation, your study. You know, there are people that want to pray. I know many Christians that wish they were very fervent. They are not fervent. It's not their fault in terms of their mind. They wish they were very fervent. In fact, when they see some people praying in church, they wish it was them. But they try. It's not working. They start looking everywhere. Why? Because of the things they consume. Naturally, after you have eaten, you are full. Can you walk again? Yes, people. What happened? I can't move. Why, Vince? The things you consume affect your position and your momentum. Are you in this place? They do. The things you consume can also affect where you spend a lot of time. So the guy eats beans, banana, moi moi. You know he's going to spend a lot of time in a particular place. All right. So if all you do is consume worldly stuff every time you're on Instagram, nobody's paying you. Instagram, you're watching. You're looking at that. But no time for the word. You're going to struggle in prayer. It's not a curse. It's what will happen. You will struggle to pray. If you're watching series, and you don't have time. Let me tell you something. If you listen to a message, you'll be inspired to pray because words are powerful. And God wants to get your attention. Satan wants to get your attention also. Remember we said last week, are you with me?
Yes, Pastor.
I'm just recapping that. The Spirit of God said, to be filled with the Spirit, you should do what? Speak to yourself. So what you say to yourself is important in determining the kind of spirit that you will communicate with. Then he says what? Sing to the Lord. So songs are important. What's in your heart is important. And so one way to remove distraction is to check the kind of things you consume. You might catch yourself going back to the old ways. When you catch yourself, drop it. Move on. No Christian, are you in this place? No Christian has a habit that cannot be broken. It's impossible. The Spirit of God that lives inside of you, the Bible says it is the same Spirit that brought up Jesus from hell. Broke through the grave. If he can break through the grave, he can break any habits. But we have to remove distraction. The next one, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The next one, I said prayer. So let me continue today. Just one point. Then we'll continue next week. Prayer. Hebrews 12. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. If you dare say I'm there. Those of us at the back, can you hear me? All right. 12 verse 1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Tell your neighbor, lay aside every weight. Praise the Lord. He says, let us lay aside every weight. I know what some people are thinking. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now it's a year of speed and fulfillment. If I was running with someone that is carrying Mercedes Benz, I'll run faster. Why? Because I don't have any weight. Do you understand? Are you in this place? Yeah, I'll run faster. That's when people are running, they take up as much, as less weight as possible. The faster you want to go, the lighter you should be. Do you understand? Even when you're driving and you have many people in your car, you really cannot drive so fast. Have you ever seen cars like that? Driving the road like tortoises, so many people. But when you have less people in the car, you can speed. So the lesser the weights, the faster the speed. So then the word of God instructs us, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Let me start with that. Every weight. Jesus said something in Matthew 11. Matthew 11 verse 28. Go there. Matthew 11 verse 28. Matthew 11 verse 28. He says, okay, verse 28. Come unto me. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. All right. Let's look at the TV together. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. Are you tired? You're tired. Now, 4 a.m., you have to wake up to go to work. And you have other things you want to do. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That means you have load. It says, I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. So he takes away the load and gives you his own. Right? You must be carrying something. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, learn of me. Learn of me. You know, there are many information in the world today. There are many professors, teachers of different thoughts. And he's saying, those information you receive, the knowledge they minister to you, will keep you burdened. By the time you hear, this is the economic situation of the country. By the time you hear from your grandmother, this is how your family has always failed. Those information will put you in bondage. So people are burdened with fear. Burdened with worry. He says, listen, shut all of them out. He's not saying don't receive information. He's saying learn of me. Take only my information. You want to go faster? He's saying, guide the information you receive. Learn of me. Take my own. Verse 30. Verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. No, if you are alive, you should have burden. It's a sign that you are alive. Nobody gives a dead man load. But he's saying, I want you to have my own. Mine is easy and light. What is that body information that you have received? Maybe from your house, maybe from your company, that has gotten you worried. That's why people are worried. That's why people are stressed. If you want to trace why you became stressed, it will be traced to something that you heard. Are you in this place? If you want to trace why you are so concerned right now, it will be traced to something you heard. Now he says, listen, learn of me. Listen to me. Praise the Lord. What's the first thing he tells you when you listen to him? Give thanks. In all things, give thanks. I know. The way you feel, you don't feel like giving thanks. Do you understand? You don't feel like it. You're so tired. You're so angry. You're so burdened. Hey, he says, learn of me. Give thanks. And I told you, if someone tells you to thank him, it means he has done something. He has done something. That thing that is bothering you, he has done something. He says, give thanks. At times, he might not do it the way you calculated. Are you in this place? He might not do it the way you calculated. Maybe you calculated this is how it will happen. He might not do it that way. He might do it some other way. But surely, he has done something. I told you, children of Israel, I'll end with this. We'll continue next week. I told children of Israel, the only time they heard about God working miracle when it came to do with water was Noah's ark. That was before they left Egypt. That was the only recorded miracle concerning water that God did. Noah's ark. There was a flood. And what did God do? He told Noah to build an ark. And every creature in that ark was delivered. Now imagine you're a Jew and you just left Egypt and you're going and then you see the Red Sea and you hear the Egyptians are coming. The only miracle you know that God did concerning water was instructing Noah to build an ark. What would you expect? That Moses should start building. You'd have said, Moses, why didn't you tell us since we started working? We'd have built something by now. That would be the expectation. Or, you know that the firstborns were killed. So you would expect that, okay, as Egyptians are coming, they will die on the road. Nobody would have expected that God would split the sea. It had never happened before. Where would you have faith for that kind of thing? Where? Thank God we have the word of God. Now we can have faith for impossible things. We can say if you put us in fire, we will not be burnt. Why? Because he has done it before. We can say even if it's only oil we have, there can be provision. Why? He has done it before. But then, God had never split the sea. So how do you have faith? So if you were asking God, they would have expected it in a particular way. In fact, what Moses told children of Israel was stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He was expecting that they would stand and God would just kill the Egyptians. But God had another plan. He said, Moses, stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. Someone says, is it like that? And you know what? It happened. I'm trying to say, when God says, give thanks, do it because he has done something. It might not be the way you planned. Do you understand? It might not be according to the testimonies you have heard before. He is not obligated, neither is he bound to walk according to another man's testimony in your life. You can be the starting point of a new testimony. From that day, it had never happened before, but from that day, everybody thought, you know what? Somebody can split the Red Sea. And you know what? Later on, Prophet Elijah took his mantle with boldness. And he split the sea. But it started with Moses. So if God wants to work a miracle, a new one, it can start with you. It doesn't have to be the way you planned it. But he says, listen, lay aside every weight. That information of fear, that information of worry, that information of burden, put it aside. The word lay aside means cast off. Weight actually means hindrance. Every hindrance in your mind, he said, put it off. Cut it off. Focus on what Jesus has said. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. At times, people are so amazing. You are in a tight situation. Only God can help you, yet you don't focus on God. You're listening to every other person. But you know that situation. While you're listening, you're talking to them. Only God can help me. Only God, it's only God I'm trusting. Yet, you are not focused on him. You're focused on others. No, he says, repent. Learn of me. Are you in this place? Learn of me. Take away those weights. I told you something at the beginning of the year. I said, he isn't telling you there won't be challenges. This is 1 year that he has promised. There will be challenge. But he says, you'll be carried by the Spirit. So where should your focus be every time? Him, the Spirit, he's doing something. Focus there. So when you see challenge, don't say, why is this yesterday like this? Blah, blah, blah. No, he said they will come. But learn of him. Are you in this place? Learn of him. See, I'm making progress. No, some people did not say it. Okay, so the people in front are making progress, yeah? Say, I'm making progress. Some say, if I make progress, that's when I will say it. Hold on. Even in real life, is that how it works? No, making progress in natural terms means walking forward. Are you not the one to move yourself? Are you in this place? Naturally, if you want to make progress, that means you're walking forward. Are you not the one to carry yourself? Would you wait until somebody say, until someone carry me, I'll not move? No, you move yourself. So spiritually too, the spiritual vehicle with which you move, what? How did we move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? By speaking. That's how you move. The day you said, I am born again, Jesus is Lord of my life, that day, you switched masters. Until you said it, you were still under the dominion of Satan. The day you said it, you moved. So if by speaking you moved from the worst place anybody can be spiritually to the best place anybody can be spiritually, that means how do you move yourself in life? By speaking. Say, I'm making progress. I'm moving forward. Don't stop saying it. Don't stop saying it. Don't say, I've been saying it for years and I don't see where I... Why did he tell us about Joseph? Joseph had a dream. His parents and his siblings will bow before him. It was a God-given dream. Where did Joseph end up? As a houseboy. Was he making progress? Was he making progress? Was he making progress? If he had stayed with his parents, they would never bow down to him. God had to move him from that country. So he might not have known it, but as a houseboy, he had moved closer to that dream. Then Potiphar's wife accused him. Oh, praise the Lord. Remember, he was a houseboy in Potiphar's house. Pharaoh doesn't visit Potiphar. Pharaoh needs nothing from Potiphar. So how would God move him closer to those that are close to Potiphar? Guess what? Two people were going to be in jail. One of them would come out and get close to Potiphar. So what did God do? Arrange for him to be in jail in the same location. When he moved, being a houseboy is bad. It's bad, but at least you can escape. Or your ogre can release you. If you move from houseboy to prisoner in a strange country, it's over. And in prison for something you did not do. Over. So in the eyes of men, Joseph was done. But in the eyes of God, he just moved closer. He just moved closer. One day, he was walking and two men said, we can't believe the kind of, what kind of dream is this? What kind of dream? Say, me, I dreamt that I took grapes, 3, and I squeezed it and gave to Pharaoh. What do you think that thing means? You were wondering. The other one said, I dreamt I carried 3 baskets of bread and the birds ate the bread. What do you think it means? Jesus said, all right, what it means is for you, in 3 days, Pharaoh will call you and put you back. Oh, look at that. Look at that. He had the opportunity to talk one-on-one with someone that would be close to Pharaoh. He needed the recommendation. And so the Bible says that man, when he was released from prison, forgot Joseph. But guess what? God did not forget him. God had been planning since. had been planning since. And then one day, you know, God can do anything. One day, Pharaoh himself dreamt. If he had dreamt while Joseph was in Potiphar's house, fighting with his wife, nobody would know Joseph can interpret dreams. One day, Pharaoh himself dreamt. And then the butler said, my lord the king, I remember I've just done something bad. There's someone that told me that I'll be here today. And I'm here right now. And Pharaoh said, really? Go and call that man. Listen, he moved from houseboy to prisoner to go and call that man. Finally, he had gotten to the bus stop. All the while, he was journeying. He was making progress. Are you seeing it? He was making progress. But when you look at where he stopped houseboy, you think, what progress are you making? You move from your father's house to be a houseboy. Naturally, you're not making any progress. But God had a plan for his life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm making progress.
I'm making progress.
I'm moving forward.
I'm unstoppable.
I will fulfill God's plan for my life in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and talk to the Lord.